It's been a weird week, man. But right now, time to talk some. I was actually going to ask my next guest my first question I had for our last guests. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our weekly view from the North. Oh, what a week I'm having. Finest work for Comcast Sportsnet. Check it out online at csnnw.com. Catch it on the site. The podcast with Bree Amaranthus, or its Twitter feed, the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm all over the place. We got people canceling on us. We got interviews in the wrong time. I was about to ask you what it's like to cover UNLV basketball. It's just getting ugly, man. I'm telling you. With Duck football, obviously a wrap now because, well, there is no more. Do you do talking ball? Do you do much TV between now and the start of the football season?
Well, on Monday, actually, we'll start talking Ducks basketball. That'll be every week, every Monday or Tuesday. And then, actually, this season, once conference play starts, actually, I think in January, we'll wait till then. On Saturday nights following Oregon games, we'll do actually a post-game show, just like we did for football.
Ah, nice.
So I'll be a part of that, and that will run through that, and Talking Ducks basketball will run through the basketball season. So, yeah, plenty of Aaron Fentress on TV twice a week for the next few months. So, sorry, people.
So since the Ducks hired Willie Taggart, what was the more ridiculous question you've been asked? The guy on Twitter who thought Chip Kelly might want to be offensive coordinator.
Ding, 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 ding. Stop right there. There's nothing dumber than that. But go ahead with the second option.
Or me thinking you were traveling to Seattle to watch the Rams.
Ooh. I think the Chip Kelly thing. Because I have actually gone to Seattle to cover the Seahawks before, so it wouldn't be completely out of question. Whereas there's no way in hell Chip Kelly would come back to Oregon at all.
Offensive coordinator.
I wouldn't say that. But definitely not to be the OC.
That's brilliant.
Could you imagine that? Chip Kelly's coming back to be the offensive coordinator under Willie Taggart, and Taggart's calling plays? Oh, my God.
Yeah, a guy who, with his track record, worked for the Eagles, the Niners, and now he's kind of an associate offensive coordinator.
Exactly.
You got to love it. Let's get to the big to-do the other night. Ty Lue, the coach of the Cavaliers, decides to sit a healthy LeBron, Love, and Irving at Memphis. So is Lue only obligated to prepare his team for a championship run, or do the fans deserve to see the superstars? What'd you make of all this?
Okay, I've always believed that you're going to do this for, okay, this might sound strange, but I think you do it at home. You announce it well in advance because you're going to play at home 41 times. So you're going to sit twice at home so you don't completely screw over the road team fans. As a season ticket holder and with the Blazers, I know how valuable Cleveland and the Warriors are and the Heat were when Cleveland was there, or even back in the day with Jordan playing for the Bulls, how valuable those tickets are compared to the other tickets. Like, I sold Miami Heat tickets 1 year for $500.
Oh, nice.
And the same game for the Kings, I got 90 for that pair.
Somebody paid
factored into the whole season ticket cost. If you go to the Blazers website and look at single game tickets each game, they all differ based on the opponent, which is how it should be, because obviously there's more demand for a game like that than there is for, you know, a scrub game. So if you have season tickets to the Grizzlies, and you might be in a pool where you draft. Like, I draft a few other people. I share my tickets with other people. We draft. Cleveland went first. So the person who picked Cleveland was either going to resell them for a lot of money or they were excited to go. If you're excited to go and all of a sudden Cleveland's just sitting those guys out just because, oh, my God, how upset would you be? And can you get a refund? Can you go to the Blazers and say, hey, man, you sold these tickets telling me I was going to see LeBron. He's not injured. He's just sitting out. I want my money back. No, you can't do that. So I just think it's totally, it's so bad. I feel really badly for anyone in Cleveland who bought tickets in advance. What if you went out and said, okay, I'm going to buy tickets in advance. I'm getting $300 tickets. Take my kid to see LeBron. He loves LeBron. And then, oh, by the way, I got to eat the $300 and LeBron's not there. And my kid's going to be bent the entire night.
I got to confess.
I need to think about these things.
I never thought of it that way. And it's amazing because the last years, now we're going back 27, 28 years before I got here, I was in on season's tickets for the Knicks, and we used to do what you did. You know, Lakers are coming to town, Celtics are coming to town, the Bulls are coming to town, and that's how we did it.
I
feel shame.
No, it's really, I'm telling you, man, there are some people in Memphis who are probably really pissed off. And if you spent money on those tickets, as single tickets, you got ripped. Because they're way more expensive than a Kings game.
By the way,
here's the thing I never understood. Because San Antonio does this too. And to me, it's like, okay, just play them 25 minutes or something. And then figure out another game you're going to sit them. But don't go on the road and just completely, especially when you're that type of a marquee team, and completely shaft the home crowd like that. Jordan never did. Jordan, I mean, he made it a point of pride every time he went and played somewhere, especially somewhere where he was only going to go once, to go out there and put on a show. He's Michael Jordan. And I just can't stand this mentality, the way people do this. It's classless to me, but that's just me.
Now, for those of us who might be planning like a Ponzi scheme, I need the name of the guy you sold the Sacramento Kings tickets to for $90.
but I ate money on that, because the face value of the Kings game, like, the pair was like 170. So I ate. But that's the thing. You eat money on the lesser games, you make it back up on the bigger game.
No, I got gotcha. You.
That's but a
good point. But
when that bigger game doesn't come through like that, like what's going to happen with people in Memphis, then you're iced out. You're not just iced out of a few bucks. You're iced out of a few $100.
Oof. Yeah, suddenly exactly. I'm feeling their pain. Let's move to the Blazers, talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. I thought the win against OKC, pretty gutty, coming off a game the night before at L.A. Last night they got lit up by Denver. Only Phoenix and the Nets allow more points than Portland. That defense, how much do you think it's going to limit what they can accomplish this year?
Well, okay, so you have two very mediocre defenders at your guard position.
Yep.
And they are not backed up by a rim protector at all. Not even anything close to a rim protector. That's like having no pass rush and a bunch of slow DBs. You're going to get lit up, right? That's like having Oregon's defense 2016. I'll put it that way.
Wow.
The DBs weren't slow, but you had no pass rush and some questionable coverage sometimes.
Sure.
So the only way to combat that, obviously, you have to shoot a lot. Well, you have no inside post game, so you're not getting a lot of easy baskets. You're relying on perimeter shots. So if your two guards shoot a lot, when they're hot, they can keep you in it because they're hot. But they don't play enough defense to really let you run away from people. If they're not hot, then you're done because you're not stopping anyone. You have no rim protector, and they're not making shots. So it's just a completely poorly constructed team. That's not really the fault of Olshay. He tried to get Whiteside. You know, he made an effort to get that rim protector. It didn't work out. He's kind of stuck with what he has. He has a bunch of depth, but they just don't fit together in a winning formula that I think is going to be corrected unless Lillard and McCollum commit themselves to becoming better defenders. And at this point, you have to wonder if it's just a lack of commitment or they just simply can't do it.
No, I'm with you. I'm watching this team, and you see 118 and 130 and 125. And
oh, it's insane.
The only games they don't is, you know, when they played Memphis. But that's like playing Stanford in football. It's just not going to be a shootout.
Exactly. All right. No, it's bad. And there's no doubt, and, you know, our reporters have talked about this and other people have talked about this, that, you know, part of the idea of keeping all these guys and they're paying Harkless 10. They gave 70 to Turner. They gave 76 or whatever to Crabbe. They gave 40 to Myers Leonard. I'm just throwing around money. They're like the second or third highest paid team in the league, right? Or top five, whatever. But they're to do all that because how else are you going to get assets? Because you're not going to be able to get a lot of free agents on the Portland. I mean, they're setting themselves up to make a deal at some point. That's the thing. Like if Miami decides, okay, we're going to trade Whiteside and try and, you know, get some expiring contracts, or whoever might do whatever in the next couple of years, you could have some contracts. Guys only have 1 or 2 years left. You can move those guys to try and get that third piece and get better. That's the only reason why they kept all these guys, but it's just not a good mix right now.
Let's move to Oregon basketball. You know, the loss to Baylor obviously helped. Bears are number four.
Georgetown, I know, look at that.
Unbelievable. And they've won the rest of their games, but, you know, Boise State, they didn't put Montana away. They're up by you tomorrow. You see a team who's, you know, getting their injured stud back healthy, working in some key new guys, or one that maybe was a little bit overrated?
You know, I'm kind of writing about that right now, and my take on this is that I don't think there's reason to panic or be concerned. I still think they can be a Final Four team. I think that maybe them being ranked in top five was fair, all things considered, but this team is really kind of trying to figure some things out. I mean, consider, your best two players last year were Cook and Brooks.
Right.
Right? You ran everything through them, as Altman talked about the other day. Well, Cook is gone, clearly. So then Brooks would be your lead guy with Dorsey as number two, but Brooks has been out or limited. So then you're shifting everything you want to do while you're also breaking in new guys, specifically two guards, and Ennis, who didn't play last year at all, hardly, and then Pritchard, who are trying to find their way. Dennis trying to, trying to get back to full form after sitting out a year, basically. And then Pritchard being a true freshman, and they're both handling the ball a lot. So you have two guards trying to feel their way through things. Dorsey had a horrid run of five-game stretch where he shot like 25% or whatever. Brooks is not in the lineup full-time. And, of course, you're still trying to get over the loss of Cook, which they can't get over. That's a pretty toxic bunch of things that are going on, both on offense and defense, in terms of communication, in terms of how the offense is running, in terms of finding that chemistry. And so the fact that they've only lost twice, and one of those losses was at a team that's number four right now, and that was minus Brooks, I think all those reasons say, you know what, let it all come together. Let Brooks get healthy. Let everyone fall into place with their roles. And I think come February, they'll be rolling. If they're not rolling by February, then, yeah, be concerned. But right now, I wouldn't sweat it. I still think at the end of the day, when they get this thing all going together chemistry-wise, I think they're going to be very formidable.
Yeah, and history says the last 6 years, Altman's teams are always better than they are now anyway.
Exactly. They had two losses before conference play began last year. And if you look at their stats are almost identical in most categories to last year's season-ending stats. So I think they're on pace to get where they want to go. It's just going to take a little time.
All right, let's get to football. It's been 9 days since Willie Taggart was named as head coach. I thought you wrote a really interesting piece about Tony Dungy. You know, he gave his thoughts on the hiring. We obviously know his connection here. I was not aware of his relationship with Coach Taggart. What could you tell us about his involvement in the process of, you know, Taggart getting hired in South Florida and what he sees as kind of his path to success here?
Yeah, well, Dungy, he appeared on our CSN Taggart introductory show.
Yep.
Via phone. He works for NBC, so that was easy to get for us, since we're all NBC affiliated. And, you know, he talked about how he was in on the interview when Taggart came to South Florida. His son, Eric Dungy, transferred from Oregon to South Florida shortly after that interview and job hire. And he was just impressed with, you know, everything about him in terms of his makeup and how he approached things, his communication, his coaching style, and his attitude about things. And just has followed his career very closely since, primarily one, because his son went to play there. And two, Dungy's from, I think, still lives in Tampa primarily, which is where South Florida is. And, of course, there's no doubt that Tony Dungy is going to, you know, gravitate towards being a mentor to, you know, up-and-coming African-American coach, since Tony Dungy is one of the most, you know, groundbreaking African-American coaches there ever was. And so he gave great glowing recommendations to Oregon about Taggart's potential as a coach. I think that bodes well, for sure. I don't think it guarantees that Taggart's going to win 8 national titles or anything like that. But
8 now, okay.
You know, that Tony Dungy is basically vouching for this guy, because he doesn't vouch for just anybody. And the guys he has vouched for have usually done pretty well.
Let's speculate. Here we go again. I mean, we heard the list of coaches. We heard the list of defensive coordinators. What are you hearing about this list of candidates to maybe be the offensive coordinator? And is that important, considering Taggart's probably going to have a pretty big fingerprint on the offense anyway?
Yeah, he said he's going to call plays. So the offensive coordinator is going to basically be someone who helps, you know, coordinate things or practices. Taggart's already instructed that they want to do. I'm not sure how overly important that person is going to be in terms of in-game play calling, but I think sometimes people tend to discount how important that person is if they're not calling plays. Calling plays, I swear to God, man, it's one of the more the balance between scrutiny and reality are just so whack. Like, most people's game plans are formulated during the week. The offensive coordinator, whoever that is, going to be involved with that, along with every other offensive coach. You know, what do we want to do on 3rd and 8? You know, on the right hash. You know, what's their tendencies? What plays do we like? That stuff's determined, you know,
Wednesday.
You know what I mean? So sometimes that stuff can be overrated. It's mostly about execution too. How do you prepare your team to execute the plays you want to call in those situations, as opposed to what call you make at that moment? So the coordinator is going to have to be someone who obviously can help identify weaknesses in the opposing defense and come up with different ways to attack those things along with the rest of the staff. And then, of course, Taggart's going to oversee all that because offense is his baby. So it's going to be interesting to who they get. I honestly have not followed. I haven't read any of the rumored candidates or anything like that yet, so I couldn't say anything about those guys specifically. But, you know, on one hand, this person is going to be completely answering to Taggart as opposed to running the show like defensive coordinator is going to be. But that doesn't make that person not important.
All right. Good insight, as always. Remember, get me the name of that guy who bought the Kings tickets for big bucks in case I need some
big
quick cash.
No, that was like half price. That wasn't big bucks. It was $90 for $180 pair of tickets.
All right.
Hey, cash on that day.
Hey, you got if I'm going to pull off a Ponzi scheme, I need to list the names first.
Hey, I gotcha.
Always appreciate your time, Aaron. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, bye.
Take it easy.